Living Faith with Father Richard Umbers.
The three great virtues that have God as their object: faith and hope and charity. And in heaven, we will have the love of you, Lord, and we will participate in the knowledge of you. But we won't have hope. We won't need it. We will have arrived. We will have obtained the goal of our life. But whilst we are yet walking on this way, whilst we have not yet arrived at our destination, we need hope to think that we can reach there. The Holy Father, Pope Emeritus Benedict, wrote that encyclical on hope, the hope of salvation. And there, it's a very long encyclical, many considerations. But for ourselves, we realize, Lord, that you are always encouraging us. You give us hope. Precisely because the temptations of the devil are always directed towards despair, to giving up, to saying, this is impossible. One writer sees these three theological virtues as sisters. And there are two big sisters and one little sister. The two big sisters are faith and charity. But the little sister, hope, is there pushing both of them forward. And so we need hope if we are, Lord, to truly take up the cross that you wish for us to carry, to realize that it doesn't lead to despair, but rather that call to holiness, that call to self-giving, which baptism makes to us, is possible. We can live an intense holiness. We can live with a great degree of sanctity. And if we examine ourselves at this very moment, we realize that we are not saints. But we need the firm hope of becoming canonizable saints. That our process can be opened up, that people can say, well, look, in this other, this person exercised the virtue of hope. And we all experience different moods. We all experience difficulties, times when things seem dark. And even if perhaps when we were younger, you know, we were a bit gung-ho, well, we get older. We lose that security, not in God, but in ourselves. We can be perhaps more realistic. It's said that people who suffer depression are perhaps more realistic about the way the world is. Our optimism, our hope, does not depend upon things turning out well. It's not a management consultant who says, you know, think positive. Everything could go belly up. But even then, we would be exercising hope. Because what we hope in is what you offer us, Lord, heaven. That's what counts. The hope of heaven. And we can always hope for heaven, whatever our situation, by being open to the grace that you send us, Lord. It's not a question of what we do, it's a question of what we let you do, Lord, within us. And you want for us to be saved, you want for us to be with you in heaven. And though we ourselves are weak and we fail, we can always start again. There's a philosopher who was not a believer, but who based a lot of her work on Saint Augustine. And her definition of the human being was a beginning. The human being is always a beginning. How do I express my hope? In the first place, through prayer. Because when we pray, there is implicit the hope that we are being heard, that we will receive. And we show that hope also by using the means that will lead to the end. By turning not only to prayer, but also to the resolutions that are formed in our prayer, putting them into effect, not only seeing, but acting. Starting along the way, what lies ahead of us is huge, colossal. But we begin. And as we start to take traction with those resolutions, in small ways, because we are so easily thrown off course, so easily overcome, so easily defeated. But taking those steps, continuing in little ways, we find we start to make a lot of progress. The greatest obstacles are in our own head. We talk ourselves out of doing wonderful things because we overanalyze. We count on our own efforts. We attribute the worst possible motives to everybody else. We think that we're going to end up coming a cropper. And many times, perhaps the person's concerned, you know, are barely even aware of what we're thinking. Think about, inviting someone to come to Mass. And you go through all the difficulties and problems and what will they think and what will they do? When somebody else who just goes along and says, would you like to come to Mass? They go, oh, yeah, sure. And then they go, all that time, that friend of mine who I could have invited. But I wrote them off. It's, they're living a bad life and, they don't like these things. And yet another friend could come along and invite them and they say yes. Or when someone says no, and we think, well, that's it, they've said no. Okay, off the list. But we all say no at different times. Sometimes we say no out of politeness. And it's only upon the third or the fourth time of being asked that we then say yes. And so, would you like some more cake? No, that's all right, thanks. You sure you don't want some more cake? No, I'm on a diet. You really don't want some more cake? Oh, well, if you insist, That's how we are. Okay, look, sometimes people, they say no, they are on a diet, you need to help, and you shouldn't be there offering them cake. This is being tempter. But many times it's like that with so many things. It's about being patient, but not giving up hope. And really, if things are going badly, we realize that we're off course. To have hope in the means, to say, well, I'll get back on course. I know what I need to do. I need to be more pious. I need to get down on my knees and to pray the rosary looking at Our Lady. I need to go to the chapel to make examination of conscience and to go to confession. I need to go to bed early tonight so that I'll get up early tomorrow and pray. That's hope. And with those means, walking that way, we begin to lead a life of sanctity with the possibility of being canonized. Not that that's the end goal. It's not that on this life, on this earth, that people recognize us. and that there'd be a monument to Saint so-and-so. If anything, our goal should be the 1st of November, All Saints Day. Just one more amongst so many. To be part of that cloud of witnesses present in the Mass. What really matters is that we love you, Lord. And to be in heaven is to be a saint. And to be with you, Lord, is to be in heaven. And that's our goal. We are saints not for our own pride. We are saints because we want to be with God. What we need to do is act as you said, Lord, with regard to that widow, who, when people were putting large sums of money in the temple treasury, that widow put in 2 small coins. And those coins, in many ways, were just a bit of propaganda, because you get to put the king's head on it. So the king would release coins and say, you know, guess who's in charge here? Me. And so those authorities in the temple, they couldn't do very much against the Roman authorities, but they could at least exercise some degree of propaganda by having their own temple coins. And at least, well, you have to say, well, you know, when you're doing your sacrifices, you need a couple of those small bronze coins. It raises public awareness. Well, this widow had 2 of those small coins, worthless coins, and she dropped them into the temple treasury. I mean, these guys probably could have made those coins themselves. But it was all that she had. And Lord, that is what drew your attention and your praise. The apostles, I can imagine them, you know, taking a break, and some old lady goes by, drops a couple of coins in the treasury. They wouldn't even notice. But Lord, you see, you notice, and you make a big deal, a big fuss for those men so that they realize this widow has put in all that she had. And what about ourselves? Do we drop in our 2 small coins? Do we give you, Lord, all that we have? It may be very little, although many times, according to our own ego, it could be very much. What matters is that we give all. That we make a serious effort to obey your will, Lord, and to carry out the tasks that you entrust to us. Many times that could be through the mediation of others, in spiritual direction or circumstance. But there in saying yes to you, Lord, lies my sanctity. And I hope for sanctity, not because I'm confirmed in grace. That's not the case for any of us. Saint Paul would treat his body hard, he said, lest, having preached to others, he himself should be rejected as worthless. At times the going is harder than we first thought. At times we grow tired. Especially, not only through the volume of work, but when we realize just how far off the pace we really are from where we should be. Because we start to realize that moving other souls, being an apostle, is much more than simply inviting someone to an activity. There's a lot more involved than that. And we can grow despondent when people say no, when people even get angry, when the environment is not propitious, when people get upset. There's a point that San Jose Maria makes in The Way about interior struggle, in which he says, so you couldn't care less. Sometimes, you know, we can feel that way. Look, I just don't care. Look, I give up. Don't try to fool yourself. This very moment, If I were to ask you about certain people and undertakings, in which for God's love you put your soul, I know that you would answer me eagerly with the interest of one speaking of what is his own. It's not true you don't care. It's just that you're not tireless and that you need more time for yourself. Time that will also be for your activities, since after all, you are the instrument. That's the thing. Sometimes, you know, what we need is simply a rest. Not in the sense of going to the beach and spending 5 hours there, although that may be called for sometimes, but a rest, you know, spiritually. A change of activity, a day of recollection, time in the chapel, less tension, a good night's sleep and a warm bath. Sometimes that can, you know, Thomas Aquinas recommends these things. You know, but it's amazing the difference that, you know, a good night's sleep and a nice meal can make. You know, you see life differently. Sometimes you have to have meetings for, you know, a boys' club, going back 20 years. You know, at times things didn't go as smoothly as we'd liked. You know, trying to raise money, and even in the fundraisers, we lost money. I don't know how we could have managed that. It was pretty depressing. But when you had a few beers discussing, you know, the next week's activities, we were always a lot more optimistic, a lot more hope. Bit of sanctity, if apostolate were easy, we wouldn't have need for this infusion of the theological virtue of hope, which concerns goods that are difficult to achieve. You know, when I suppose love is very much bound up with hope. You know, when we really want, really desire, we're not easily dissuaded. We're not put off. You know, we want the internet. We're eager for the internet. And maybe our reception is bad. Maybe the connection is slow. Maybe the computer has problems. But, you know, we keep trying again and again and again until we make that connection. Even, you know, looking for somewhere else where we can get reception. You know, we are moved with that hope, that expectation. At times even hoping against hope. What are the allies of the enemy? Sadness and despair. Because they diminish our hope. They make us abandon the struggle. And it becomes a vicious circle. You know, when we're sad, when we're down, well, what's the point of trying? And then, of course, we don't try, and then, you know, our friends don't change, and then we don't see any impact in our life, and then we get even more sad. What we need is to be docile to spiritual direction, and the person who attends to us will spur us on. And when we obey, we don't see, what's the point, I don't know, and then, okay, but we carry it out, we do it. And then we become effective. Lord, you said to the apostles who had fished all night and caught nothing, cast your nets on the right side of the boat. Well, they did it, and they caught an abundant catch. The nets were filled. And we too, we need to be mature in overcoming our fears. Taking an interest in what's going on around us. Thinking about those colleagues of ours. Those brothers and sisters of ours. Giving ourselves generously to them. Making friends. I was really amazed by a story I heard about the beatification of José María Escrivá in 1992. In New Zealand at the time, I think there was just one article in the Herald that was a bit negative. And then, you know, someone had got asked for a right of reply, and they put an article that was positive. Okay, well, that was it. But in Spain, apparently, there was a real campaign in the media. I mean, just saturation, saying how bad everything was, and this is a travesty, and how dare they, and really, really dark. But the amazing thing is that there were a number of people who got to know those journalists, who were patient enough to say, look, what's the problem? And they would say, because of this and because of that and the other. And, okay, well, let's talk about this. And, you know, instead of getting upset and saying, well, you know, how dare you say this and how dare you say that? I mean, typical things that you see on the internet, you know, when people have arguments in the comments box. They just throw things at each other. No one's listening to, no one's taking on board what the other's saying, really. It's just all insults. But instead of doing that, you know, they were patient, they listened, they clarified, they gave information. You say, okay, well, you reckon it's this and that. Well, did you know about this thing? And were you aware of this other? No. Well, maybe you might want to have a read. Very calm, just open, sharing, patient. And 10 years later, in the canonization of Saint Jose Maria, we know, 2002, I was in Spain at that time, and in the press, no big deal. If anything, you know, very positive articles. That was really amazing, you know, in 10 years, how that had turned around. Because there were people prepared to simply explain. And then, you know, with the Da Vinci Code, such a silly book, you could say, you know, how dare they and all the rest. But no, again, you know, open, transparent, explaining. And, you know, many people have come to Opus Dei as a result of the Da Vinci Code. You know, because they've discovered, you know, they've sort of had an interest, what's all this controversy about? They've found out for themselves and thought, well, actually, this is pretty good. And so too with ourselves. Lord, you know, we realize from reading the Acts of the Apostles that when people kick up a stink, all they do is spread the fire. You know, if they kick at the embers, they make the fire spread. And so when there was controversy over you, Lord, and there will always be controversy over you, they help spread the news. There's no such thing as bad publicity, in a sense. In a sense. Maybe some things are a bit bad, but you have to qualify it a little. But in general, there's no such thing as bad publicity. You know, if we are trying to be honest and truthful and doing what you want of us, Lord, then people will discover. And they'll be able to take advantage of that. All things work to the good for those who love you, Lord. We don't see how, but we are merely instruments in a much bigger game plan. So long as we put our faith, Lord, in you, our trust in you, you will see things through in a way that we would never imagine. Saint Jose Maria knew that you wanted from him that Opus Dei be a personal prelature. And that juridical configuration for Opus Dei was a real thorn in the side for Saint Jose Maria. Because he knew that none of the existing structures and canon law of that time really fitted this pastoral phenomenon. They were all, in one way or another, something akin to the religious state, and for which Opus Dei has nothing to do with the religious state. It's for lay people and the odd priest. That's the thing, the odd priest, I'm a priest, you know, I belong to. But the thing is that, you know, but it is for lay people. And so, well, how's it going to happen? How can I achieve this? You know, and even being told in Rome, look, you've come 100 years too early. But then, because he was faithful, because he trusted in you, Lord, you know, there was a second Vatican Council. There was an ecumenical council 100 years after Vatican I. And that's what it took, basically, for the structure of the personal prelature to arise. And then, you know, the new code of canon law, things totally outside his control. But providence provided. Because he was a faithful instrument. And so too with ourselves. Knowing that we are sons and daughters of God, if we merely continue with faith, that Spe Salvi, that encyclical of Pope Emeritus Benedict, is really also a consideration of faith, of hope and faith. And it means precisely when things are dark, when we don't see how, when we're feeling down, that is when we need to exercise the virtue of hope and to stick to what we know and to trust in you, Lord. And many times that will mean living those norms of piety that we have set aside for each day, never giving up on them. And San Jose Maria used to like to think about those norms of piety, that time of prayer, of rosary, of mass, of spiritual reading, that they were like signposts painted red. That in some countries where there's a lot of snow, it's difficult to know the way. And when the snow falls, those signposts painted red stand out, so you always know which way to go. I suppose the same thing here in Australia sometimes with different bridges that can be flooded with water. I mean, you see, you know, there's a pole there telling you where the road actually happens to be. Not that you should use it when the water's flooding through. But at least you can tell the depth. And so too for ourselves. There are times when we don't know where we are. But being faithful to those norms of piety, being faithful to prayer, will see us through. If we didn't pray, if we relied only on our own achievements, if we refused to throw in those two small coins, it could take an eternity for us really to come to know your love, Lord, to be efficacious in our life, spiritually speaking. But we have to realize that the obstacles around us are so that we be saints. Here is where we will exercise sanctity, by entrusting ourselves to you, Lord, once again. And even when people around us seem not to care, when the job at hand is not as we would like it, when even our own interior life seems to be like a piece of scribble on a dirty page, we can't forget that difficulties are normal business, ordinary business. And our maturity is gained precisely through facing up to those same difficulties and tackling them head on, making that determined effort. If we place those problems under the microscope, it blocks out everything else. All we see is that difficulty. And then we get angry with the anger of impotence. I can't do anything. It's no use. Why? We need to be serene. Always serene. Never to lose our peace. That's maturity. That seriousness, strength of character, sense of responsibility, acquired over many years. Study what's not going well. Keep at least a little in mind, all that is good, all that is positive and healthy. Be optimistic, have that hope in winning. And you'll begin to take steps towards the removal of that obstacle. Like a good doctor who doesn't simply apply a tourniquet and cut off the leg. You know, sometimes we've got keyhole surgery these days. And that's, you know, when we speak out, when we study, when we are calm, we find a solution. Let's ask Our Lady, our hope, Spes Nostra, that she give us that calm, that encouragement, that light, when things seem dark. And in that way, we will be canonizable saints.
That was Living Faith with Father Richard Umbers.